Welcome to this week's Sunday School lesson. The title of the lesson today is Reconciled in Christ. Our text to be found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. We're continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. If you missed the previous lessons, I encourage you to go to our website, MorningstarBaptistChurch.com, and look under the teaching, preaching link. Or you can also find it on Facebook under the Morning Star post. Israel as a nation is in the political forefront. Look on the map and you'll see that Israel's just a little tiny dot. And yet that little tiny dot on the map, since their existence, the whole world has been and is still today influenced by what happens in Israel. Why? It's because they're God's chosen people. However, they were to be a light to bring others to God, but they failed. And they're still waiting on Jesus to come as the Messiah the first time. But yet God has never rescinded his love for Israel. You'll find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. One day he'll restore Israel and they'll see the Messiah. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. And God has supernaturally preserved Israel. And God will not change his plan for political reasons. We're going to be looking at circumcision. And in the Bible, this refers to the Jews or the nation of Israel. Now, of course, circumcision was is a fleshly outward sign of the law. It's an outward sign of that law covenant that all Jews were to be circumcised. Well, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So then when the Bible refers to as the uncircumcised, it's referring to the Gentile or the non-Jew. Israel, descendants of Abraham, were to be partakers with God's promises. And it talks about them being cut off. If you're cut off, it refers to here as being cut off from the promises of God. There are still promises in the Bible that pertain only to Israel. However, circumcision nor the law can save anyone. Surely Abraham, Isaac, Moses, these great prophets and others that are in heaven today, since Jesus hadn't come to earth as the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, well, then how did they get saved? Well, let me just add here that they were saved by grace through faith based on the blood. We looked last week. The way to get saved is Ephesians 2:8. And that's the same way they got saved in the Old Testament. Is by grace through faith, and that's the same way we're saved today. It's the only way to be saved. The only way to get to heaven is through the blood. Christ shed his blood on the cross. And when he did, he paid for all future sins, which was mine and yours. But as well, he paid for all prior sins, Abraham and the saints of old. So let's look in our text. I encourage you to open your Bible, turn with me, read along with me. Get to know that Bible. Chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, and that's what we were referring to earlier, the Gentiles or the uncircumcised in the Bible, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, Paul is writing to Ephesus, the Christians there in Ephesus, the Ephesians. And that indicates to us that the majority of them were Gentiles or non-Jews. They were not part of Abraham's bloodline. Well, if you will, we can just sum it up and say, well, they were sort of in the same boat as you and me, Gentiles. And he goes on to say in verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The Ephesians, along with us today, before salvation, were without Christ. If you're not saved today, you're still without Christ. Aliens to Israel, who were God's chosen people, were strangers to the covenant. The covenants, the Mosaic law, had to be observed and kept. And this was a lot of do's and don'ts, and it was keeping the Sabbath, observing the feast, sacrificing in the temple, as well as many other rituals. And the Ephesians didn't do this. They were strangers to it. They didn't keep these covenants. They were not under that Mosaic law. Well, here's a good explanation of the law. The law was never given to redeem people. The law was given to a redeemed people, which was Israel. After their redemption from Egypt, it was their national constitution. And it allowed an unholy people to fellowship with their holy God. The law was given as a schoolmaster. Without the law, man would not have known that he was even sinful. Then those that did not participate in Israel's relationship with the God of the covenants were without God in the world. Oh, they had religion, but they had no concept of the true God revealing himself to man. And this is true today of anyone that rejects Jesus Christ. They will have no birthright, no hope, no commonwealth, no covenants, no promise, no God. They're lost, and if they die that way, they'll go straight to hell. Verse 13. But now. Oh, it's hard to get by those two words. But now. I just said you're going to hell for that now Christ, no commonwealth, but now. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off and made nigh by the blood of Christ, but now. I just love it when God butts in. We part here last week, verse 4 says, but God. I was lost, going to hell, but God. I was alienated from God, but now. I had no hope, but now. I wasn't fit to teach a Sunday school class, but now. I didn't care one thing about going to church. I didn't care one thing about God. I didn't care one thing about serving God. But now. Boy, we could park here a while. Oh, we have some in our church that were drug addicts, but now. Some in our church may have been drunkards, but now. Some of our church may have been whoremongers, fornicators, liars, cheaters, stealers, but now in Christ Jesus. Paul explained the reconciliation between God and man, as well as the reconciliation between the Jews and the Gentiles. Before Christ came to earth, the only way a Gentile could be reconciled to a Jew was to accept the Jewish religion and be a proselyte to Judaism. But when? But when Jesus came, he shed his precious blood on the cross and fulfilled all that was foreshadowed in the law of Moses. The animal blood sprinkled on the mercy seat could not save them. But Jesus' blood can and did. His blood was sufficient to save all who would come to him by faith. Yes, my friend, both Jew and Gentile. That's where I got in. And he says, in Christ. We Gentiles were afar off, or not coming to God through Israel. We were made nigh. We were brought near to God by the blood of Christ. The question for you this morning, where are you? Are you afar off, or are you near to Christ? 14 through 17 of our text. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. There's no peace like the peace of God. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Also, here's a verse you need to remember. When you need to make decisions and you don't know which way to go, here's some good advice. Here's the verse that I use and have used. There were some very tough times in my life that I had to make decisions. And I'll never forget, we called Dr. Edward Maccabee, one of our spiritual heroes that's up in heaven now with my other spiritual heroes. We asked Dr. Maccabee when we had a big decision to make, a crossroads in our life, my wife and I, And he said, the best advice I can give you is to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And the verse says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. If you don't know if you made the right decision or what decision to make, just ask yourself, do I have the peace of God in my heart about this issue? Well, can I just say, if you do, I can say back then we made some choices when we were at that crossroads, and some of the choices, it just kept us stirred up. But then when we made the right choice, we could go to bed at night, pillow our head, and have that peace that passes all understanding. Also, as we're looking at Jews and Gentiles, can I just say that the Jews hated the Gentiles? Called them a bunch of dogs? Only through Christ can we be reconciled. Man in his sin nature hates God. And only through Christ can we be reconciled. So, ask this question. How did Christ reconcile us? He reconciled us by breaking down the middle wall or partition between us. In the Old Testament temple, there was a wall of partition between the outer court and the Gentile world. Gentiles would be killed if they crossed this wall. But there was another wall in the outer court and the inner court, or the holy place. There was a veil separating the holy place from the holy of holies. Only the high priest could go into that place of the holy of holies, and even then it was under very strict guidelines. But Jesus the Messiah broke down the walls, ripped the veil in twain from top to bottom, to allow man to have access to God. He is our high priest. And because of that, we are now priests and can come boldly to the throne of grace through the veil. And the veil is the flesh of Jesus Christ. His veil, or flesh, was torn on Calvary to allow us to enter in. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. No one except Jesus has ever kept the law, the Mosaic law. Yet by keeping it, by fulfilling the Mosaic law, dying under the law, Jesus removed that condemnation forever. And now in Christ, both Jew and Gentile are united into one new body, making peace. And in him, the demands of the law as a measure of righteousness were abolished. And Paul reminds us in Galatians that to keep any point of the law requires that we keep the whole law, which in turn puts us under the bondage, because we cannot keep the law. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, That's the Jew, right? That he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Circumcision, uncircumcision, Jew, Gentile. Never again we have to be under the law to be saved or to be right with God. Jesus satisfied every demand of the law and proclaimed the message of peace by grace through faith. In Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at that verse real closely. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, why am I harping on that? Well, this is a powerful verse because it contains the Trinity. It says through him. Who is him? That's God the Son, Jesus Christ. Access by one Spirit. That's God, the Holy Spirit. Unto the Father. That's God, the Father. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Both Jew and Gentile gets in the same way. There is only one way. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Back to our text in Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners. Well, thank God. We saw in the earlier verses that we were strangers, we were afar off, we were not nigh to Christ. It says now we're no more like that. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We've looked at that word saints in the last couple of weeks, and that's not referring to the Catholics that had died and the Pope proclaimed them a saint because of a good work they did. No, the saints here in the Bible refers to all born-again believers. And it says all born-again believers are now fellow citizens and that we're all now in the household of God. And in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21 and 22, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Fellow citizens, citizens of heaven, no longer strangers, no longer foreigners. Actually, now I become a stranger and a foreigner and a pilgrim, but it's not to heaven, but it's here on earth. We're just strangers and passing through now because the earth here is not our home. We're now of another country. We're the household of God. It's talking about the true church, all born-again believers in one body, making up the temple and the bride. And when a house is built, they dig down until they hit rock and solid ground. And the foundation built upon the rock will stand. The Lord Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. He is the rock. Our bodies are a temple. That's where the Holy Spirit resides. If you've ever called on him for salvation, he lives in you. You're a temple of the Holy Ghost. The foundation was laid by the apostles. The foundations were laid by the prophets who bore the infallible revelation of God concerning his plan and the Messiah. But our temple is still under construction. Each day we continue the build. Each time we read our Bible, each time we go to church, each time we pray and get along with God, each time we go to Sunday school or sit under the teachings and the preachings of the Word of God, we're laying rocks to our temple. So the question for you today is, what is your temple built upon? Is your temple built upon a job, a career, sports, cars, material things, money, power? If your temple is not built on the rock of Jesus Christ, you're on sinking sand. And when the storms come, you're going to fall. So what was the most important feature of the Jewish temple? The cornerstone. So what is the most important feature in your temple? Think about it. Our salvation is based on God's work of reconciling us to himself, as well as reconciling two groups, Jews and Gentiles, the circumcision and the uncircumcision, that were once irreconcilable. But when Jesus Christ came, shed his blood, through him we're reconciled in Christ. If you're saved this morning, Christ has took one hand and took a hold of God and the other hand and took a hold of you. And through him you can get to God the Father, you can get to heaven if you believe on him by grace through faith. Through grace by faith. That concludes our lesson. We'll continue next week on the book of Ephesians. And I hope that you've been reconciled in Christ. If not, there's no better day, there's no better time than right now. Thank you and God bless you.